For the which cause
I also suffer these things. Nevertheless, I am not ashamed, for I know whom I have believed, and I'm persuaded that he is able to keep that which I committed unto him against that day.
One word, saints, just for our thought for this text here. One word, nevertheless. Nevertheless. When you think about some times in life when you have been confronted and even conflicted with things that happen or occur, and you try to figure out or to discover the necessity or even the need for that to be happening in your life, all of us here can say honestly, and I'm going to say this pervasively, that whether you are saved or not, all of us have had occurrences in our life that we don't fully understand. Amen. However, there is something that can be left. The difference is, however, for those of us who know Christ, we have different values. Well, and so that being so, it calls for a different worldview about what happens to the life of the believer. Amen. Once you come to Christ, you're getting a different set of lenses and view about how life is under God.
Yeah.
And so it should help us, it help you, help me, to have a perspective when I'm in something, caught in something, I don't have necessarily a full reason why things are happening. We who are saved, we don't believe in chance. And we are not fatalistic in our beliefs. We also should not resign ourselves to things that God is not allowing to happen. And when I use the word allow, I use that loosely, because sometimes we use theology, that means truth about God, that we have thought we got from the word, but sometimes we're just repeating what we heard from somebody. And the truth is that God is in control of everything.
Yes, sir. That's right.
And when you say he permits something, you just better be careful and act like God took a break somewhere and then came back. God is always in control.
Right.
He doesn't miss anything, and he has ordained and foreordained a lot of things. Matter of fact, everything. It's just that we can't put those things together.
Right.
But however, we still have, even without full knowledge or even full agreement about things, we still have within us, and we should, this nugget of faith that allows us to say, despite what's going on, despite what's happening, nevertheless. I ain't got to go on. That someone might say, well, that's not good English. I mean, you got to have a prefix and a suffix or something in there. Start off with something and say, but see, when it comes to God, since he is the one who was, is, and always shall be,
right.
Ain't that right? Then if I serve a God who doesn't have a beginning and no end,
right,
then at least I can have a middle.
Right.
Amen. Uh-huh. I can't explain everything, right, but he does everything that's according to his will. But having said that, I said that, and see, what happens is the things occur in the life of a believer, and we know that. It's not always the case that you don't know that. We don't know everything, and we don't have all the whys about things, but we know that God is good. Ain't that right? And so there are times when this is all you can hang on to, so to speak. So all you can hang on to, and the truth of the matter is, as to some degree, God will say, well, that's all you need right now. You understand? God said, you don't need all the facts, because if I gave them to you, you still wouldn't know what to do with them. And God said, sometime in God's wisdom, he said, if I told you everything and even told you the end result, you would not even cooperate with me, because then you would try to orchestrate a difference.
Y'all ain't hear what I'm saying.
Yeah, see, if he laid it all out for you, then you would try to navigate and get around and move. And then, you know, and God said, no, I'm not going to tell you everything. I'll let you know only what you need to know. And yet God still remains faithful. And so this letter that was written
What we call is 2 Timothy is really what they call one of the pastoral epistles, and the name given, of course, because of that, that's the tenor of them, where Paul is writing to Titus and to Timothy in those letters to them personally to instruct them about deportment and church management and church order and how to deal with things that are going on in the local constructs of the church. But then, of course, 2 Timothy, however, is written, it's a personal letter. It's not so much like trying to tell people about how to handle the widows and elders and things like that. It's more so dealing with a personal encouragement to Timothy. It's an intimate letter. That means it's a letter that's really where he pours out his heart to this young man, Timothy, who he had brought in under his wings. You got a chance to read Acts chapter 16, and you'll get the time that they met when Timothy, as you saw already here, and I read those verses leading up to this, Timothy was brought up in a household whereby his grandmother and his mother were the ones who brought him up in the faith. And now when I say that, when you look at that, that was before the gospel came per se, but they were faithful in what they knew at that time. They were Jews, Orthodox Jews, and what they had for the Old Testament, the Old Covenant, they brought Timothy up under God. But then when Jesus came and the gospel came, and as it began to travel throughout all these different cities, that Timothy, in God's working in his life, had been brought under the truth of the gospel. Y'all with me here? That's why you teach your children. You don't preach to them all the time. You teach them. You catechize them. That's what youth church is all about. Sunday school. You get them at the lower level when they first are. They're using some formative years. But see, sometimes they use this expression about age of accountability. Well, you can't wait that long. Amen. You can't wait till they're 12 and all. No, you got to get them early. As a matter of fact, amen, the truth of the matter is you ought to speak to them in the womb. Yes, sir. Amen. That's how powerful the word of God is. And what Timothy did, what happened is God had used his mother and his grandmother to bring him up in the word of God. And consequently, because his father was a Greek, that's what Paul uses the term, and the connotation is that he was an unbeliever and he had no spiritual input into Timothy's life. But God had planned for this young man.
Right, yes, sir. That's right.
So the Holy Ghost brought Paul through that place in Acts 16. And Timothy had already developed a rapport and a report among those Christians in the Christian community that this was an aspiring young man. And so what happened is Paul came in and filled the spiritual void that his father did not give him. And yet the mother and the grandmother, they was held and holding fort in this young man's life. Are y'all with me here? Can I pause for a minute? That's how it happens sometimes. Amen. They get it from somewhere else. And that shouldn't necessarily be the case. It should not be the thought. The church should be a supplement of what's happening in the home. And yet Timothy, again, he was coming up and, you know, he needed certain pillars in his life, not just spiritually, but he also needed some man to come in a spiritual way to, again, start to build into him so he can grow up to be the man of God that God wanted him to be. And so we find that Paul took Timothy around with him and he started to travel with him. And he's going around and Paul would, again, leave him and give him certain measures of responsibility in ministry. He would, again, teach him certain things and Timothy would watch Paul. And when Paul would do something, he's going to say later on, the thing you saw and heard in me do. And you know, so in essence, he was saying is that the Timothy, the things that I did, but you heard me preaching, you heard me teaching, the things that I taught you, how I responded to things, the persecution I went through, you saw how I responded in those times. I want you to keep that with you because you're going to need that later on. And so what Paul began to do, he began to give Timothy responsibility. And so as time went along and Paul had to travel sometime away from him and he had moved on ahead of him. And Paul would be persecuted in different places. So he had to leave Timothy behind. And when he got to a moment, as Paul's age, he started to age more and carrying the gospel out. And Paul found himself in 2 Timothy, what we call the letter. Paul now was in prison. Now, he had been in prison before, you know, the book of Philippians. And back then, one of his missionary journeys, he was in prison before, but God let him out. Amen. I said, God let him out. Amen.
The Lord opened the door. Paul was talking in first in book of Philippians, the first chapter. He talked about whether, you know, with Christ or without Christ. I'd rather be with the Lord, but it's more mindful to stay here with you.
Right.
But he said, you know, to be with the Lord is far better. But God chose to release Paul from the specter of him losing his life. And things weren't as dire at that time. You know, you had stuff going on, you know, in the church. You always got, you know, folks, again, who say they following Jesus, but they just following themselves. And the gospel was, you know, Paul said, if the gospel was preached for envy and strife, I just thank God that the gospel is being preached.
Amen.
And so time went along and Paul continued in his ministry. But now, saints, we find in 2 Timothy, Paul's coming to a place now. He's gotten older. He's gotten on in life. And he's in, again, a situation again. He's in prison. But this is different. This time, he's under the auspices of the power of this crazy guy named Nero. Nero was the emperor, and under his reign, his rule, he just didn't have it all together. But you know, you don't always have to have that to be in power, you know. Amen. You just wind up in there. And so Nero, he was one of those. Have you ever read the history? He was the one who, when he Rome caught fire, a lot of Roman Empire, parts of Rome caught up in fire and burnt down. And the people were upset with Nero that he allowed this to happen. So Nero said, looked around and said, I need a scapegoat. I got to get this heat off of me, literally. And so he said, it's the Christians. They're the ones who caused this problem. So he used that as a means to blame the believers so that the people would get off his case. And then that brought about some persecution. So Paul, and God's providence, so happens that he, having been preaching the gospel, he got arrested for preaching the word of God. And Nero used this opportunity. Paul was now arrested and then brought before the Roman imperial courts. Not in Rome, but a tribunal that represented Rome. And then Paul says, you'll see this when you read it, Paul says in his first answer, that means that when they brought him to trial, brought him before the authorities, they gave him a continuation. They listened to the charges against Paul. And they said, okay, well, we ain't going to give you the final verdict now. But they sent him back into the dungeon. When he's at Philippi, he was free. He witnessed to the guards coming by. Amen. Some of the guards got saved.
Yeah.
That's what I'm talking about, prison ministry. Amen. The guards was holding and Paul was in prison. They was too close. They had to stand right by because they couldn't let him go. You remember Philippian jailer. And Paul used an opportunity to witness to them. And some of them, they were of Caesar's household. They got saved. But now he's in a deep dungeon. And he's in that dungeon waiting for the next answer. He calls it my answer. In other words, he's speaking about the fact that when he comes back up, they'll give their final verdict to decide whether he lives or dies. And back there, what they did sometimes, they didn't just do crucifixion, but also they beheaded folks. So Paul's here in this place now. And I thought about this earlier, looking at this letter here. And when you look at, and we'll get to it in a minute, what we just read in verse 12, but I don't like to use the word verse because it takes the life from it sometimes. When you look at, and Paul is talking to Timothy and writing to him, he does not know here what's going to happen later. I need you to get that. See, we got the Bible already, so we can read and look back, and we can get real intelligent when we know everything already. You know, I know what I would have did. You don't know what you would have did, because you wasn't there. But Paul right now, he's writing this letter. And as he writes this epistle, this letter, again, he's writing and he's chronologically writing again to Timothy while he's yet waiting to see what's going to happen. And Paul says this, and I don't have time to go through all of it, but I want you to, again, get an understanding about what we talk about, this nevertheless thing. Because he's in prison for preaching. We got preaching all over television. Ain't that right? We got people on every channel almost. And all of it ain't sound, but we got some preaching. We got, amen, we got preaching, singing, worshiping, and we can't even get people to come to church.
I know it. That's right. I know it. Get quiet.
We got a proliferation of word going all over the place on our phones, on our apps, on our blogs. Amen. On our television. I mean, it's going all over the place, but that has not caused people to go to church more all the time. And if they do, we don't go back to the scriptures and read about what God was saying. We let somebody talk to us or lecture us, and that's about it. But I'm here to tell you, you better find out what's happening from God's perspective, because one day somebody's going to read the Bible and be surprised at what's been going on.
That's